We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking today with USD 3D3 Manhattan Ogden Superintendent Dr. Marvin Wade and Board Member Kurt Herman. School Board has a couple of meetings tonight. They've got the regular business meeting at 6:30, but prior to that, they'll have a work session to talk about redistricting. And I know that's a big timely topic here with the new elementary school planning to open up here in a little over a year. Kurt has some information on that and just kind of what they'll be talking about tonight.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon. The redistricting, you know, that actually I've lived in Manhattan a little over 20 years, and it's the fourth time I've seen this done, and third time as a school board member. But it's, you know, it's very, very scientific, because, you know, like a lot of people think that, you know, we just draw a circle around every school and then we're done. But it's not like that, because, you know, the students aren't spread evenly throughout Manhattan. There's always pockets of growth, and it's interesting to see, you know, where the growth is and how much we have grown. And it's really it's a great problem to have, you know, because we are expanding in our community, and we passed two bond issues, but you know, we try to keep students going to what would be, you know, we refer to as a neighborhood school, and I think we'll be able to accomplish that with the addition of Oliver Brown grade school and moving the sixth graders up to middle school but sometimes it looks a little strange. I've used my example is, you know, some attendance zones may look like the shape of Italy because of the way students are spread out around the community, and we also want to make sure try to make sure we maintain our Title I schools. There's a significant amount of funding that we get for those Title I schools, and so sometimes we kind of have to send pockets of students to certain schools to maintain that. Like, great example is Redbud, that's over here on Stepchild. You know, those kids go to Bergman, but you know, it may be a little closer to go to Lee or Amanda Arnold, but it makes more, you know, financial sense to send them. They're bus, all those students are bus anyway, so it's, you know, it's a good plan to send them up to Bergman. But that could change this time. I don't know for sure.
And what we're going to be focusing on tonight, the work session is at 5:30, and as Kurt was saying, we've got enrollment growth. We've got the changes with the early learning, the sixth grades going up, Oliver Brown. All of those would be going into effect the year after next. So we're looking now at those plans, and tonight we're going to go over the results of the survey from the community. I think it was something like 2,900 people responded about what their priorities are. So we're going to look at determining some guiding principles for this process. And this is going to be a facilitated conversation where we look at the guiding principles we want to use as we go through the process, and then also the priorities with boundaries. Things like what Kurt was saying about being able to walk to school, just other different factors that come into play as the formulas are plugged in and we look at who's going to go where. What are those things that are going to be determining factors and identifying them ahead of time instead of later when it might cause some undue anxiety for people? Because this is a difficult process no matter what for anybody, and we just want to make sure that we have the rules we're going to abide by before we go into it.
And what is the final deadline when you hope to have a decision made, Dr. Wade?
We've got three or four different board meetings, and we want to be able to have the decision by, I believe it's February of 2021.
Okay. And that gives you plenty of time to get ready.
I mean, once that final decision is made, then, you know, then we have to start planning with the bus route and the transportation department. That's a significant piece once it's completed. And although that's being considered during the process, but that's not finalized until after we complete the redistricting.
Mm-hmm. So that when we get it done by February of 21, then that gives us the rest of that year to make plans for where students will be going that next school year.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting to continue to watch here, because that's going to have a big impact on all the schools. Another thing that's going to have a big impact is I know you got some construction going on at the two middle schools right now. So those rec center facilities are going up. Part of that, over at Eisenhower, there is some new business tonight having to do with the Kirkwood Extension easements. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's kind of an exciting thing, not just for our district, but for the community. You know, that's basically, there's going to be a road going from Marlette, connecting the road right that goes in front of Eisenhower to Marlette. And they'll just ride on the west side of Eisenhower. We have a great partnership with the city, and we work together very well on projects. And this is an easement that we will give, permanent easement that we will give to the city. And of course, there will be no fees exchanged in that, because, you know, they work well with us and we work well with them. So I think that's pretty exciting. That road's going to get a lot more traffic than I think people are realizing.
Yeah, and I, from what I've talked to in the past here with the city of Manhattan, is that's going to help alleviate some of those difficult left turns on Walters onto Tuttle Creek, and this will allow a more smooth route onto Marlette, which I think should help traffic flow quite a bit, especially going to and leaving Eisenhower.
Yes.
So that'll
be. Yeah, that's right. They could take that road and then catch the light right up there off Fort Riley Boulevard, Tuttle Creek Boulevard.
Yeah. Well, that's something that'll be interesting to continue to watch here. Some other items on the agenda tonight. Should we hit on? I remember, Kurt, you mentioned something about a grant.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we're doing tonight is that I think not everybody realizes that we do is through our early childhood or Head Start program. That's mostly funded by grant money, and so to get raises for staff, we have to. It's a COLA improvement grant that we apply for. It gets us up to like 2% that we can use for staff for raises. And but another significant piece of that, we get $250 to $350 per student headcount. That we can put towards programs as well. So it's good, nice little dump in money there that should help us out in with those programs.
And that's an application process that our early childhood learning individuals work on, and then it needs to go to the board to get approval, and then they send it in, and we all benefit from it.
Yeah.
Right. We should probably go over, if there's time, the donations as well.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you got time.
Okay. We always appreciate the donations that we get, and every month it's nice to have the opportunity to go through what these donations are. So we've got, tonight's meeting, we've got $1,610.40 of juice bottles from Pepsi Cola of Manhattan to USD 383 to be given out during meal service. We've got $6,000 cash donation from the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation to Ogden Elementary for summer club field trips. $12,040 cash grant from Riley County Raising Riley to College Hill Early Learning Center for reduced fees for families. $1,389 cash donation from eSponsor Now Incorporated to Manhattan High School for PE equipment. $1,000 cash donation from Thunderhead Engineering to Manhattan High School for robotics field trip and competition expenses. And then $500 cash donation from Pepsi Cola Bottling Company of Marysville to Manhattan High School for annual scholarship. So it's a total of $22,539.40. Again, thank you to all of those donors and everybody else who has donated in the past. It really does help us with, especially these extra projects that we like to be able to have students be involved with.
Yeah, no
doubt. One thing I've noticed too is our donations have gone up during this COVID crisis, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing, I don't know if we're about to close here, but I also want to mention today is School Nurse Day. Our school nurses, you know, work with our students with health challenges, and they're an important part of our our program, but really appreciate everything they do. And particularly at this time, I think I know they're still keeping contact with the students that they spend time with during the year just to make sure everything's okay. And so just shout out to school nurses.
Absolutely. Shout out to them. Shout out to all the teachers. I know they've been working extra hard here to get education delivered in a non-traditional fashion here this spring. And we're almost through at least the school year portion of that. So I know the work will continue through the summer, and hopefully soon we'll get back to more normal operations at the school district.
That's what we're looking forward to, and that's what we're really striving to do with all the decisions we make. Every actions we're taking right now is with that focus to keep the social distancing, the hand sanitizing, all the things we've heard about over and over again, that we've just got to remain vigilant in doing all of those things so we can get back to where we want to be.
Well, Marvin Wade, Kurt Hermann. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I just want to thank Dr. Wade, too. He's been exceptionally outstanding during this whole time. And like I said, this is breaking new ground here, and it's like he's done this before. So thank you for your work, Dr. Wade.
All right. Well, we'll end on that. Dr. Wade, Mr. Hermann, we sure appreciate the time. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brandon.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. We'll have more In Focus coming up with Manhattan Fire Department officials next on News Radio KMAN.